Going back to the Radio Days archives for this podcast, from about 1985 to 1988, I'm a little fuzzy on the beginning date, I worked as a DJ at 3WVFM in Charlottesville, Virginia, while I was in graduate school at UVA. For the first year or so, I had my own special show, which I actually designed and called Late Night with Gardner Campbell, a highly imaginative show title. The cool thing about the show, for me anyway, was that by running from 10 to 1 at night, I got to be more adventurous than my non-late-night colleagues. I played some music from the playlist, but I played other music that was off the playlist, and on occasion, I would do special shows. My Neil Finn interview dates from this time. So does tonight's podcast, which features a special guest I refer to merely as the Ice Cream Man. Now it can be told, dear listeners, that this man was none other than Eddie Dean, a terrific music writer who's been published in the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Washington, D.C. City Paper, and even in Best Music Essays of 2000, a collection edited by the extraordinary Peter Guralnick. At the time, Eddie was finishing up his undergraduate career at UVA, where he was my student in the very first English composition class I ever taught. In fact, the first college class I ever taught all by myself. Eddie was obviously special from the get-go. He's still probably the single most imaginative and intense writer I've ever had as a student, and I've had some fine writers over the years, believe me. Eddie and I also shared a deep love of popular music. He used to come visit me in my grad student cubbyhole, and we'd argue the merits of everything from Yoko Ono to the Guess Who for hours, just ranting and raving and having a great time. I miss Eddie. He followed his muse and I followed mine. And though we still keep in irregular touch through friends and family, I haven't seen him in a while. But every now and then, I'll see one of Eddie's pieces in the Post or elsewhere, and he never, ever fails to satisfy and inspire me. Truth is, I probably learned more from him than he ever did from me. This podcast demonstrates just how zany we could get. I have no idea whether anyone else will find this at all funny, but as I listen to it again 2 decades later, it still tickles me, and I hope you enjoy it. Well, it's now 10:38 on a late night with Gardner Campbell. I'm very pleased, very honored, and delighted to welcome once again to our humble studio, the Ice Cream Man.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, was that okay? That was a big intro. I figured you were just going to break into tears or something.
Yeah, I parked in a different place. I've noticed that there's more cars out there tonight.
Yeah.
Well, is there construction going on?
There's construction going on at the front of the building. Okay. And you may have noticed they enlarged the parking lot as well.
Yeah, I sold some ice cream right out there before I came in.
You're kidding me. You brought your enterprise directly to our door and actually sold some ice cream. That was great.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. You never know when you're going to be called on to sell ice cream, do you?
Well, the nighttime's usually the best.
Why is that? You'd think people would buy more ice cream during the day. Why is the nighttime the best?
Because the truck lights up better.
Oh, it's the lights, is it?
Yeah, we have an outside light which hums, and it seems to attract people as well as moths.
Oh, I see. Drawn to the light and drawn to the hum, too, huh?
It's cooler outside later
on. Yeah, that's true. But you get gnats around your ice cream then, don't you?
Well, yeah, it's true. That's the way it goes. But then again, you want to wash away dinner with something.
Right. Did you happen to bring any 4 stars with you here?
We've got them out in the truck. I want to keep them cold for about 12:30 or so.
Yeah, and then you and I are going to have to...
Yeah.
Well, it can be told. I think we can let our listeners know.
We're allowed to eat it on the air.
Yeah, we're going to be eating ice cream on the air, and you'll be able to share the experience with us. Well, listen, I think we should get right to a couple of questions from the listeners, but you are going to be here until 1 tonight.
Till 1. I'd like to play some stuff later on when everyone goes to sleep.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Some ice cream songs.
I think that would be great. Have you brought some stuff with you?
About 6 albums.
Well, that's terrific. So you're going to have...
I had them in the freezer today with me.
So they're nice and cold, too.
Yeah.
Did you keep the mango off of them?
Hopefully nothing dripped.
Okay, here's some questions. We got some real profound ones I think we ought to save for a little bit, because they'll take...
The one about war, let's hold that one.
Yeah, we'll definitely sit on that for a bit. One question comes from Alice, and she wants to know... On the bomb pop, or the 4-star pop, it has the words imitation, water, ice.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, what does that mean? Which is imitation? Is the water imitation water? What is it? Can you explain it?
Water can never be imitation.
Okay.
The ice is. What they mean is they've put lots and loads of sugar in there.
I see.
And ultimately, we'll get down to the art versus nature conversation in this, but...
That is, what do you mean by artificial anything, right?
Yeah, but okay. First off, I'd like to say that artificial sugar is the only thing we can use on the truck.
Artificial sugar?
Highly refined.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the only thing that we'll keep in the freezers.
I see. You can't use the whole cane sugar.
No. We've got to do many things to it.
Before it'll stay preserved.
It's called quiescently frozen confections.
And what does that mean?
Basically, it means that it was freeze-dried at really high temperatures. Way below zero.
I understand. So yeah. it just goes frigid fast.
Yeah.
To seal in the artificial flavor.
Your nose stops up when you go in there.
That's amazing. It's that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Bomb pops are better than the strawberry shortcakes. Let me go on and say that now. All it is artificial ice with the water, whereas strawberry shortcake, the list is endless in the ingredients.
Okay. So you know that you're getting a few really good artificial ingredients with a 4-star. As opposed to strawberry shortcake?
Which is complex.
Right, right.
Because you've got 3 different ingredients, the cake, the ice cream, and the coating.
All of which are extraordinarily artificial.
Very much. People are tricked every day with that.
Well, it's good that we find out to be warned of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not even frozen, so it doesn't have that kind of wonderful quality. Yeah, okay. Here's another question for you. This one's from Richard. He wants to know, who was the original Nutty Buddy? Do you know this person?
I don't know the company who they think the original Nutty Buddy is, but I do know who the real... original Nutty Buddy is. He lives out in Page County.
Yeah? Locally, then. I mean, yeah. He's nearby.
Page County.
Yeah.
And he is the Nutty Buddy.
Why?
He buys one every time, and he sits under the same tree waiting for the truck. But the Page County route doesn't exist anymore.
Oh. So what does he do for Nutty Buddies?
That's a big question.
You might want to go out there. Hanging.
That's kind of strange to think of that, because that whole route we don't do anymore.
Yeah.
People like the Nutty Buddy are there without it, and I don't know what they're doing.
So they've just been stranded. They don't have a safety net.
Not that I know of.
Man, we'll have to talk to the government about this, don't you think?
Well...
Get some intervention.
Hopefully the Nutty Buddy in Page County will find what he needs.
I see. Somehow, in this great land of ours.
But the magic will be gone, I think. He used to come out every day at the same spot.
Hello. 6 right now in Charlottesville. I'm sure people are wondering if the ice cream man is still here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you still here? All right.
Just hanging out in the back.
Okay, we've had kind of a wild time with this Walk This Way business. You've been following it here, being in the studio.
Yeah, I followed all the calls, and it was either hot or cold, it seemed like.
Yeah, that's an appropriate remark for the ice cream man to make.
Yeah, I guess so. I'd think in those terms. Gave it a 9. I guess I should go public with that.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, people want to know how the ice cream man voted on this.
I think that Run DMC's great, and the version's great.
Yeah.
But now that we're going to play the... original,
yeah.
I guess I should talk about that.
Yeah, what's the Ice Cream Man's perspective of hard rock? I mean, that's what we call it.
Well, I've got some AC/DC we'll play later, if that's what you want to know. Aerosmith got us back from the beach. I was down Virginia Beach.
Oh, yeah?
I guess we hit Richmond and 5 in a Volkswagen. We were about to kill each other.
Yeah.
Someone was trying to put on Zappa, and then all of a sudden, Aerosmith was on there, and we got to Charlottesville in about 15 minutes.
And that was a real unifying force for you, then?
With about 4 Aerosmith songs.
Sort of the social glue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good for that.
And this song, you know, took us to Ivy.
Wow.
We got there.
Got you all the way into there. Walk This Way, huh?
I love the lyrics of this song. To me, it's wonderful stuff.
And you think the rap interpretation is a good one, too?
Of course.
Yeah. It's almost made for rap.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that those two guys from Aerosmith helped him out.
Yeah, because they're being good sports about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you gave it a 9.
A 9. This is a 10 coming up here.
Yeah, the original's a 10. Yeah, I think that's fair. The overall rating this evening was a 6.6. But as the ice cream man said, that doesn't tell the whole story. Let me just read a couple of the ratings out to give an idea of the way the distribution went. It went like this. 3, 10, 8, 8, 10, 8, 10, 10, 10, 1, 10, 3, 1, 6, 8, 8, 8, 1, 8, 1, 10, 2, 9, 3, 9. So I think evenly divided, and you either liked it or you didn't.
Did you ever see Aerosmith in the Sgt. Pepper's movie?
No, how was that?
Well, George Burns was boring.
Yeah.
And then you had the Bee Gees. That was horrifying. I was only about 15. Then Aerosmith came on and did Come Together.
Yeah.
Then I got excited about it.
That was it, huh?
Then we walked out after that.
Just lift you up.
Yeah, Aerosmith was great in that movie.
The Ice Cream Man here on a Thursday night on a late night with Gardner Campbell. Are you still there, Mr. Ice Cream Man?
I'm back here.
All right. Yeah, people aren't acquainted with the geography of this studio. It's not, I don't know, it's not like the Letterman set or anything like that. It's real intimate. It's real cozy. And we've got the albums directly behind me. And then right next to the albums, back against the curtain at the back of the studio, since the ice cream man.
I'm almost a level down, sort of, behind you.
Yeah, it's a humility exercise.
But it makes sense in this context.
That's true, it does. Yeah, well, you're kind of, I don't know, you're kind of removed off into kind of a...
I'm in the shadows,
an isolated space.
Bit.
In the shadows.
Kind of watching you work.
Good way to put it.
Looking at the albums. There's a nice light, fluorescent light on the albums.
Yeah.
Seeing what's down here. Pretty impressed.
Yeah? Are you impressed? What impresses you most about being on the radio, would you say?
Oh, I just saw a Beach Boys album. That's... What about being on the radio?
Yeah.
Nice stool. Nice stool here.
Yeah. Good microphone. Nice big...
Yeah, it's like those puffy kind of microphones.
Yeah, the puffy kind.
It's the kind that Neil Diamond uses. He takes it off the mic.
Yeah.
And he walks around with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like it.
It's professional quality material here. Well, listen, we still got a couple questions to get to from our listeners.
Let's get some of those. Those are some good ones.
Yeah, and then I want to talk to you a bit about what's been going on in the ice cream truck today, and maybe talk a little bit about some ice cream music. I understand you brought some tonight.
Oh, sure.
Great. Okay, one caller wants to know, what is a bebop baby? Do you happen to know off the top of your head? As in the Hooters song.
I haven't heard the Hooters song, but I know a bebop baby.
What's that?
It's a girl who buys ice cream. That's definition one.
Okay.
Right. And I also say she usually talks about whatever I'm playing inside the truck.
You got music going inside the truck?
Yeah, the truck's continuing playing music. She would either say she hates it or likes it. That's a bebop baby, I think.
Oh, okay. Somebody's now. This is your music you're playing, right? On your tape deck.
Yeah, this is just music in the truck.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So that's a bebop baby. Okay, what about this? This I think is pretty good from Lewis. By the way, it was Craig who wanted to know about the bebop baby, so we got his name on. Lewis wants to know, and this is a tricky one. This will test your knowledge. In an ice cream sandwich, how do you keep the ice cream in the middle frozen without freezing the chocolate cookie on the outside? Because I can testify from my own experience, and I think probably Lewis would back me up, it's a drag when the chocolate cookie itself is frozen. It makes the experience not quite as lush.
Well, let me say this. A lot of times the freezer's not working as well as it should under extreme pressure.
Yeah.
And so the ice cream will be slightly melted.
Yeah.
So it's perfect, as you describe. Other times, you do get it hard, and the cake is actually frozen.
Yeah.
Talking about the chocolate cake,
the cookie,
that covers it.
That, right, exactly.
And a lot of people like that. So what we're going down to is there's so many individual tastes. Most of the time, you're going to get a hard, gold, kind of bar of ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
What your duty is to be patient with it
and
let it melt a little bit.
Good
Does
advice.
That make any sense? I mean,
sure.
It's hot out there.
Right.
Hang out and talk to some of the kids, get to know the people in your neighborhood, find out their names.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that kind of scene going on, so I think you can hang out with it a little bit. A kid will teach you how to eat ice cream, which is lick the package and the wrapper.
That's the first thing.
For at least 10 minutes before you even open it. And I think, Lewis, that's what I'd do.
So you see it as an opportunity, not an obstacle.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a real positive outlook. You could write a book about that.
No, I don't want to write it.
Okay. Yeah, all right. And we got one other question. This one always comes up, and I think it's legitimate. Mm-hmm. Travis wants to know, how do you become an ice cream man? I know the question came up last time, but it's worth repeating.
I think I said it was something to do with luck.
Yeah. Right place at the right time, that old formula. Huh?
I think it's like the old days when you were a carpenter, you happened to know a carpenter.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. I happened to know an ice cream truck driver.
And that was your in.
That's how I got in. I don't think it's any kind of ice cream ability. You know, love of ice cream is good. I'd say a love of ice cream is essential at first. A lot of people burn out on it and have stopped eating it for
the rest of their lives, huh?
Yeah.
It just ruins their experience of it.
Well, they get addicted to sugar, and that is a whole other thing.
That's the unpleasant side of the business.
Right. I'm still into the sugar, and I'm eating a lot of it, probably too much. Today I had a screwball. I let it melt, but as I was drinking the melted screwball, I almost got in a bad wreck.
Really? What happened?
Well, the screwball, I was...
Oh, you had it tilted up. And the
see what I'm saying? I think sometimes the ice cream eating gets involved too much, and I think it obscures what's going on.
Okay.
You should be driving the truck, maybe eating two or three.
Yeah, but not giving your whole attention to it.
I think a jug of water is really the essential tool of the ice cream, man.
So that you're there, you can...
Clear water.
Right. Clear the palate. Get the throat open.
But that never happens, you know.
I see,
You try.
Well, it's an obsessive kind of business. Now, you've got a tune... on the turntable here from a Sly and the Family Stone. This is an especially ice cream kind of song.
This song never fails me, even if it's night or day.
What song are we going to hear?
It's called Life.
It's called just Life?
The song is, yeah. It's right. From their album called Life.
Yeah.
And back when Sly and the Family Stone were recording things, ice cream trucks weren't even questioned. You know, and now they are. So, I mean, that goes back right there.
Yeah.
Now, Sly and the Family Stone was basically a horn band. They had two or three trumpets and a saxophone. And horn music is essential for ice cream truck driving.
Why would you say that's true?
Well, because driving, by its very nature,
you can't have classical
music.
Right.
Oh, and horns, like you just said there, that's good.
Thanks.
But there's some music's blues that just don't fit driving for me, especially the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
It's got to have the hard-driving horns, and it's got to move.